Hi, this is Pastor Marquez Ball of the Uplift Church in Laurel, Maryland. Listen, it is my prayer that this word is a blessing in your life. I pray that it's uplifting to your mind, uplifting to your heart, and uplifting to your spirit. Check us out online at upliftmd.com. God bless.
Five, you have it. We ask you to stand to honor the reading of God's word. John chapter number 11, verse 25. It will also be on your screen. I'm reading from the New International Version. I share that it's not because I think it's the best version in the world. It's a version I choose to read from. You may choose a different one. John chapter number 11, verse 25. You have it, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you're still looking, say hold up. All right. Here's what it says. I'm going to read verses 25 and 26. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? One more time. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? That's the word of God for the people of God, and the word of God is already blessed. Do me a favor. I know we're spaced out a little bit this morning, but will you help me introduce this morning's sermon by looking at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you've got to get up from this. Okay, I want you to do it again. I want you to mean this because somebody needs to hear this in their spirit. Neighbor, today's sermon is, you've got to get up from this. You've got to get up from this. You've got to get up from this. You may be seated in the presence of God. You've got to get up from this. Will you pray with me? Father, it's once again that I stand to proclaim your word. I pray, dear Lord, that I decrease and that you increase mightily. These your people would see and hear less of me and more of thee. Take the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart and make them to be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our God, our strength and our redeemer. Father, I have studied, but I need your strength. I have prepared, but I need your power. I'm willing and I want to, but I need you to make me able. Silently now, I'll wait for thee. Ready, my Lord, thy will to see, open mine eyes and lift me, Spirit divine. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 You've got to get up from this. There was a movie came out several years ago with Queen Latifah and Common. Queen Latifah and Common. Common is a basketball player. Common is doing his thing. Common is popular. Everyone knows him. He's a basketball player for the Nets. He's at the top of his game. He's playing in one game for the NBA playoffs, and he hits the ground and messes up his leg. They see the break that happens in his leg, and commentators say that's the end of him. He's not getting back from this. That's the end of him. And because at the time it was hard to recover from that injury, he even began to hear what the commentators were saying, and he began to think to himself, this is the end of me. At the time, he had this girl who was supposed to be with him, that was going to stick with him, that was going to stay with him through thick and thin. But when it got to thick and thin, the money began to dry up. She began to bounce and said she was going to find her another baller. So now he is depressed. He is going through, and his mother hires somebody to help him. She hires Queen Latifah. Queen Latifah comes in, and she sees him depressed. She sees him despondent. She sees him saddened, and she has none of that. She comes in, and she, in essence, says, you've got to get up from this. He don't want to get up. He ain't really hearing that. He goes to sleep. She walks into his room with a cold bucket of water and just throws it on him and says, no, listen, you've got to get up from this. Every now and then, brothers and sisters, we need to hear that in our lives, because there are times when life can throw you some curveballs that hit you so hard that you don't even want to get up. All you really want to do is pull the covers over your head and have everybody else leave you alone. You're pretty much like the song that says, God, stop the world and let me off. There are some times, brothers and sisters, when you really don't want to get up. When you've been hurt so bad that hope that used to be in you has lost its groove, it dies in you. I want to challenge you. I want to encourage you by letting you know, my brothers and my sisters, God sent me by to tell you, you've got to get up from this. Nudge your neighbor and say, neighbor, you got to get up from this. You've got to get up from this. Let me share this as I start the sermon. For those who have been coming week in and week out, you know normally I do my 3 points. This is a teaching, preaching moment. That's one style of preaching where we do our 3 points and a conclusion. There's another style called the narrative style. Narrative style, for those who are in the Black tradition, it simply means you just tell the story, preacher. And so in this particular passage, I'm simply going to tell the story, and the story itself lifts so much for us that it impacts our lives. We're in John chapter number 11. It's a very popular text. It's Mary and Martha. They are saddened because their brother has died. Now, normally with this text, preachers would say the old song, "Oh, Mary, don't you weep, and tell Martha not to moan." That's how. That's, in my tradition, that's how they do it. That's the popular way of doing it. And they begin to talk about Jesus being an on-time God. He's always on time. That's how it normally goes. What's interesting is that we hear from Mary. We hear from Martha. We hear how they felt about the story. And while they are prominent in the story, they're not the particular reason for the story. So for everyone, so far in the text, everyone had a voice. Jesus had a voice. Mary and Martha had a voice. They all had something to say. But the story was about one person. His name was Lazarus. Lazarus is the central character in the story, but he's the only character in the story that does not have any words in the story. Many of us have heard about the story, but we've never really heard from Lazarus. And so as we look at this story, brothers and sisters, I want us to look at it from Lazarus' perspective. And what we'll see here, first of all, is that there are times when we are limited by our circumstance. At the start of chapter 11, he lay sick and then he died. The text seems to suggest that Lazarus' death was an untimely death. There was so much more that he could be doing with his life. There was so much more left that he could run in a race. There were so much more goals and attainments he could have, but he died seemingly before his time. And unfortunately, in our times, brothers and sisters, that is all too common of a story. We look at the news, and there are so many people who've had their life cut short seemingly before their time. And that seems to be the case here in the text. Now, I've never crossed over. And I would dare to suggest everyone that's looking at me right now, you've never crossed over. Pastor, what do you mean? I mean, you saw that bright light and you walked into it. That's how they describe it. We've never crossed over to see what's on the other side. We've never crossed the chilly Jordan. But what I am sure of is that once you are dead, you might want to get up. You might want to come back. But once you are dead, you can't. You might want to reach more goals, but once you are dead, you can't. You might want to accomplish your dreams, but once you were dead, you just got dreams after dreams after dreams, because there is no getting back up. You might want to reach for the stars, but you can't. You might want to run a little while longer, but you can't. And the reason you can't is because death is very limiting. Lazarus died. And then after he died, they would have performed the Jewish burial custom of washing the body, cutting the hair and nails, covering the body with a mixture of spices, and they would have wrapped him in linen strips. Lazarus is already dead, which is limiting in and of itself. But on top of that, they wrapped him in cloth, which further limited him. And after he was wrapped up and tangled up in the linen cloth, they put him in a tomb. And then, if that wasn't enough, they put a stone in front of the tomb. Let me try that again, brothers and sisters, for some of y'all who missed it, didn't have coffee this morning. Lazarus is dead. death in and of itself is completely limiting. On top of that, they wrap him in linen, which further limits his already dead body. But if that was not enough, they put him in a tomb and they rolled a stone in front of it, further limiting him. Lazarus is totally limited by his circumstances. Death would say, Lazarus, it doesn't matter what you wanted for your life, I've got you now. I'm limiting you. Then the linen cloth would say, if somehow you got out of the grips of death, I've got you tied up and tangled up. I limit you. And the stone would say, if somehow you got free from death and the linen cloth, I've still got you locked in. Lazarus, you are limited by your circumstances. The late great Maya Angelou wrote a poem called Caged Bird. She said, a free bird leaps on the back of the wind and floats downstream to the current end, dips his wings in the orange sun rays and dares to claim the sky. But a bird that stalks down his narrow cage can seldom see through his bars of rage. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. The caged bird sings with the fearful trill of things unknown but long for still. And his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. The free bird thinks of another breeze and the trade wind soft through the sighting trees and the fat worms waiting on the dun bright lawn, and he names the sky his own. But the caged bird stands on the grave of dreams. His shadow shouts on a nightmare scream. His wings are clipped and his feet are tied, so he opens his throat to sing. The caged bird sings with a frightful trill of things unknown but long for still, and his tune is heard on the distant hill, for the caged bird sings of freedom. Some of us cannot identify with the limiting circumstances of a caged bird. Some of us cannot identify with the limiting circumstances of death. But somebody here this morning, you know what it feels like to be limited in your circumstances. You know what it feels like to sit at a dead-end job knowing that you could do and hope to have done more in your life. You know what it feels like to be stuck in a dead-end relationship hoping and wanting more out of your husband, out of your wife, but you're just stuck there and you're going through it. Some of us know exactly what it will feel like to be limited by your financial situation. You look at your bank account and your bank account looks at you and you just hope for something more. Some of us live in places where we wanted more out of our lives because we're surrounded by people who seem to not care about their life, and you wanted more but you seem to be limited by your circumstances. Somebody here this morning knows exactly what it feels like to be limited by circumstances. Lazarus is limited by his circumstances and there is nothing that he can do about it. He's dead. He's tangled up. He's locked in. Nothing is happening. He's in a dark tomb and there's only silence. He's tied up and he's dead. Death begins to say to him, Lazarus, this is it for you. Lazarus, get used to it. Learn to embrace the darkness. Learn to embrace the silence. Learn to embrace the emptiness. Learn to embrace the confinement, because you're never going to get free. You're never going to get up again. Death, brothers and sisters, if you will, went to work on Lazarus. Death came in and began to pull out his hopes. Death took Lazarus' hopes and they locked him in the cell of dead hopes. Death went in and pulled out his dreams. They took it down to the cell called Dead Dreams and they locked his dreams in the cell of dead dreams. Death pulled out of him ambition and they locked it in the cell of dead ambitions. Death pulled out his goals and locked him in the cell of dead goals. Death then pulled out his reason for being and threw it in the sea of death. While Lazarus is dead, tied up, locked in a tomb. I love this next part. The Bible tells us that Jesus showed up. That alone is reason to shout, because for some of us, you know that was you. You were dead in many situations. You were dead in sin, dead in hopelessness, dead in confusion. But sometimes Jesus shows up, and Jesus didn't have to do anything. Merely the presence of Jesus can make a difference in our lives. I love it, because though Lazarus is
dead, tied up, tangled up, and locked up. The Bible says that Jesus showed up. Somebody here knows that Jesus can make a difference in any situation. Martha met him and said to him, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Martha got some issues. Martha not saying, Jesus, I'm glad to see you. Martha not saying, Jesus, I'm glad you came by the prayer. No, had you been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus then says to her, the central part for our text this morning, he says, look, don't worry, I'm here now. Jesus said, I am the resurrection. We just had our resurrection service, and so we saw Jesus get up. And this text, Jesus is saying to her, listen, when I show up, dead things will begin to get up. When I show up, the hope that died will begin to get up. When I show up, the ambition that you gave up on will begin to get up. And because I am here, Martha, listen, he's got to get up from this. She said, don't worry about it, I'm here. And it doesn't matter what's limiting him. Do you believe I can get him up from this? And she says, yes, I believe. To take Jesus to the grave of Lazarus is dead, and that's limiting. Take him to the grave where he's wrapped up, and that's limiting. Where there's a stone in front of the tomb, further limiting him. They take Jesus to the place where Lazarus is limited by his circumstances. He's down, and if he wanted to get up, he could not get up. Jesus then looks at what had locked him in, and Jesus says, remove the stone. Martha said, but Jesus, he's dead. As a matter of fact, he's been dead so long that by now, he begins to stink. Jesus, he's been in this situation so long that by now, it's taken over him. Jesus, he's been limited so long that by now, it's controlling him. And he begins to smell and look like what has been limiting him. Jesus, he's been there so long, he has the stench of death on him. Jesus says, he can get beyond his limits and his circumstances. Let me pause here to say, brothers and sisters, that there are some of us right now who God is working on, and others look at us thinking that we've been locked up, tied up, and tangled up, but they don't understand why I am locked up and tied up and tangled up, and why I may be appearing to be dead to you. There's something that God may be doing on the inside of me that will get me up. And while you think I still smell like death, you don't know what happens on the inside of me. Let me see if I can give it to you this way. I'm a country boy, and so in the country, you all begin to smell a little bit of it now. In the country, what we were doing, we wanted something to grow. We would help it out by taking something that didn't smell too good, but it was something that was good for it. And so we would put manure on the ground for something that we were planting, knowing that manure, though it smelled bad, there was something in it that God could use to make something grow. And for somebody right now, you in a situation where people look at you and say, oh, it just looks bad, or, oh, they can't get back from this. But I want you to begin to think about it this way. God is doing something on the inside of me, and when I come out of this, baby, it will be like a spring morning, because I know that God can grow something in a bad situation. Jesus says, don't be fooled by the limits of his circumstance. They don't limit me. Remove the stone. And although the stone had been removed, Lazarus was still dead. Lazarus was still tangled up. Death is saying, get comfortable here. Death is saying, this is it for you. Death is saying, you're finished, Lazarus. Death is saying, you'll never get out of this. Death is saying, you'll never get beyond this. Death is saying, life as you knew it was over. And while death began to talk, Lazarus could hear the simple words, you got to get up from this. You got to get up from this. And though he's locked up and tied up and tangled up, he heard in his mind, you got to get up from this. You got to get up from this. You've got to get up from that. I don't know if you've ever been there in your life where other people wouldn't even encourage you. You've got to encourage yourself. I simply say you've got to get up from this. They're looking at you. They've counted you out. They said you were done for. They said you can't get back up. But you begin to say to yourself, you've got to get up from this. I believe Lazarus in the tomb began to talk to himself because he knew that Jesus was nearby. And though death had its grips on him, he knew that with Jesus, he could still get up from this. And while death is talking, Lazarus heard a sound that he thought he'd never hear again. Lazarus heard somebody calling his name. Lazarus heard all that he had hoped for, all that he had wished for began to call out to him. Lazarus heard the simple words, "You've got to get up from this." Lazarus heard what separated him from everybody else dead. Lazarus heard his particular name. Death would say, "Lazarus, don't be foolish. Since the beginning of time, no one has ever shook free from my grips. No one has ever gotten free from my limits on them. Lazarus, nobody's concerned about you. Everybody has given up on you. They've eaten all the fried chicken and had the repast, and they've divided your spoils. Lazarus, this is it for you. You're mine forever. Things are never going to get better." And I can hear Lazarus saying the words of old Negro spiritual, "Hush, hush, somebody's calling my name. Hush, hush, somebody's calling my name. You can't get up from the hush. Hush, somebody's calling my name. This is it for you." After the divorce, after the breakup, after the hush.
Yes, sir.
Hush, somebody's calling my name. And about that time, death itself got confused. Death said, "It's not supposed to happen like this. We've never been in a situation like this. We've never lost one that we've had our hands on." Death began to get scared, and death began to say, "But wait a minute, God, you are cheating. They are mine now. They can't get back up from this. Oh my Lord, what shall I do?" And the Lord said, "Death, I want you to go unlock his hopes and put them back in him. Death, I want you to go unlock his dreams and put them back in him. I want you to go unlock his ambitions and put them back in him. Unlock his goals and put those back in him. Go grab his reason from being from the depths of the sea and put those back in him." Lazarus began to hear, "You got to get up from this. You got to get up from this." But then that old linen cloth said, "Oh, hold on, Lazarus. I know you've got a little ambition in you. I know you've got some dreams in you. I know you've got some goals in you. I know you've got that all back. But I still got you tangled up. I still got you in the mess that other people put on you. I still got you. I still got you tied up and the other things that people have tied you up in." I can see Lazarus begin to sit up. Although he's tied up and tangled up, Lazarus has a little bit of ambition and hope because he know I can get up from this. And though I've got some stuff that's limiting me, I'll begin to move with what I have on the inside of me. I might not be totally free, but I'm not laying still anymore. Lazarus began to get up. And the Bible says that Lazarus began to come out of the tomb, and he's still tied up by what other people put on him. And here's what I love, and I'm out of your way, brothers and sisters. Check it out. Jesus then says to the people, the ones who counted him out, the ones who said he's dead, the ones who said he's got to smell real bad. Now, Jesus said, "Go ahead and take the grave clothes off of him. Go ahead and put the stuff that you put on him, take it off of him. Why? Because I don't want him to look like what you put on him. Why? Because I don't want him to be limited by the circumstances that you tried to limit him with. Why? Because I have told him you've got to get up from this. And because I told him you've got to get up from this, you cannot limit him when I have spoke to him. All that mess that you put on him, I want you to take it off of him. Loose him and let him go." And that part, brothers and sisters, everybody got to talking. Everybody talked. Mary got to talk. Martha got to talk. Jesus gets to talk. It's the story of Lazarus, and Lazarus is the only person that does not talk. I talked to God, and God said, "Well, there's a reason why Lazarus didn't talk. There's a reason why Lazarus didn't talk in the text, because the reality is if I would have given Lazarus words in the text, Somebody sitting in Uplift wouldn't have been able to put their sentence there. Somebody sitting in Uplift would not have been able to put their praise on it. If I'd have given Lazarus words, somebody would have just read his words and they wouldn't have been able to see themselves in the situation. And my brothers and my sisters, there's somebody sitting here right now. You know you have been limited by circumstances, but God's in a fresh word for you to simply let you know you got to get up from this. And the question is this: how will you respond when God gets you up? What will your praise be? What will your shout be? How will you wave your hand and how will you dance? Because God has spoke to you. You've got to get up from this. Been real, I got to leave you now. As I leave you, I want to tell you this story. When I was a little boy, I grew up in the 80s with the 70s and 80s babies. You will catch this. There was a popular cartoon called Popeye. Popeye was a sailor. Popeye had this one woman he loved. He loved Ollie. He loved her. That was his boo thing. But there was this one character that kept trying to take Popeye's woman. Popeye would see him and Popeye would try to confront him. The dude that was confronting Popeye was about my size. Let me have my own imagination. Now he was much bigger than Popeye. And so what would happen is he and Popeye would get into a fight. He would get into a fight, and no matter what Popeye tried to do, he just couldn't beat him. The dude would just beat Popeye to the ground. He would look at him, and in essence, Popeye knew he couldn't get up from that. Popeye didn't have the strength to get up. Even if he had the will to get up, he wasn't strong enough to get up. Other people would have seen Popeye down on the ground. Popeye is down and he cannot get up. But there was one point in the cartoon where somebody would throw Popeye a lifeline. They would throw him a can of spinach. And I don't know what it did for Popeye, but when Popeye got a little taste of spinach, everything on the inside of him began to get up again. And all of a sudden he had muscles that he hadn't seen before. And the same person that beat him up, the same person that tried to take what was his, now had to confront a strengthened Popeye because something had happened on the inside of him that simply said, I've got to get up from this and I've got a battle to fight. This will not be the end of me. I don't have any spinach for you, but I do got a word from God. The Lord said to you, today is the day when you get back up and you stand on your feet because I have called your name. Yes. Yes. You've got to get up from this. Yes. My brother, my sister, last Sunday we saw Jesus get up. And because we saw Jesus get up, it gives us hope that we too can get up. Yes. Whatever it is that the devil has tried to limit you with, God is saying no more of that. Whatever it is that other people have tried to tangle you up in, God says you're free from that. Whatever it is that other people have tried to lock you in with, God has said, I have removed that. The question is, will you get up? Yes. And when you get up, will you praise God? Nudge your neighbor and say, I've got to get up from this. I've got to get up from this. I've got to get up from this because God has more for my life. Will you pray with me? Father, once again, we thank you for your word. Thank you for being one that can come into our dead situation. Thank you that Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Thank you that Jesus did not just get himself up, but Jesus has the power to get all of us up. Jesus has the power to get us up from what has tried to tie us up, what has tried to lock us in. Jesus has the power to speak life to someone right now, calling their name, saying you've got to get up from this. And though their past will try to limit them, though their past will try to keep a hold of them, they hear you calling on the inside saying you've got to get up from this. You've got to get up because there's more I want you to do. You've got to get up because there's places I want to take you. You've got to get up from this. God, I pray right now that you would speak to somebody's heart, that you would speak to somebody's mind, that you would speak to somebody's spirit and let them know that you're calling them for. That you're calling them out of dark passes. That you're calling them out of heartbreak and depression. That you're calling them out of the struggle that they've been going through because you want them to get up from this. Lord God, I pray now that this word will sink into someone. That it will make a difference in their life. That it wouldn't just be coming to church as usual, but they would have heard from you on this day.
This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we stand all over the sanctuary.
You've got to get up.